Damn, Taiwan got hit with the bing bang boom. Hey, Grip Report starts right now.
2-1, boom. Hotep Jesus.
Of all the Jesuses I know, he's the Hotepiest. Social scientist and YouTube host, Hotep Jesus.
How the fuck do you get a name like Hotep Jesus?
The one and only Hotep Jesus.
Ryan Sharp, better known to the world as Hotep Jesus.
Hotep Jesus. Hotep Jesus. Hotep, Hotep, Hotep Jesus.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Somebody said, what do you think you are, some kind of Hotep Jesus?
Ooh, and that's
I was
good.
Just like, ooh, that's sexy. Yes, I do think I'm Hotep Jesus.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, depending on where you are in the world. And welcome to the Griff Report, live Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, the Griff God.
Hotep Jesus. Hotep Jesus. Hotep, Hotep, Hotep Jesus.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Oh, this is the Hotep, brother.
Hotep to the chat. Hotep to the Hotep of Stannies.
Hotep.
How do I sound today? People have been complaining about the volume. I think I fixed it, added a compressor, and boosted the gain. So I should sound a lot louder today. Let me know if you can hear me loud and clear, if everything is sounding better than normal. One in the chat if I'm better sounding better than normal. Two if you don't notice a difference. One if I sound better today. Two if you don't notice a difference. Appreciate all of your feedback. Who's in the chat? Shout out to Rue, Protocol, Oz, I see you. Patnet, fam. Patnet, Patnet, what's Patnet? Hotep to the Direct Energy Lab. All right, good stuff. What up, Renee? Renee Vogel in the Chizat. Strong Dad in the Chizat. Patnet, family. real quick, I just want to make sure you guys are aware of SuperDAP coming soon. SuperDAP is in production, beta phase, and all of that stuff. Go to superdap.ai and sign up. Get whitelisted. You got Hotep in your name, it'll probably bump you up the list. But the fastest way to get bumped up the list for SuperDAP is going to be in the link description box below, join our Telegram group exclusively for Hotepistanis. Rich said he signed up for my locals today. Appreciate you, HotepGS.local. Great way to support me. Appreciate you. Little highs on the EQs. All right. We'll play with it and see what happens. I tend to stream sometimes. What up, Jabari? Shout out Jabari, one of the producers of this show and Hotep's been told. Welcome, bro. Soundboard coming through clear as well. All right, perf. Perf, 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 perf. What, can you hear this? No, I don't think you guys can hear that. I don't know what OBS did, but they muffed the sound. Really weird. Anyway, in case you're not familiar, SuperDAP is a great way to cryptocurrency swaps between your friends, and it even supports Bitcoin. Absolutely amazing. Shout out to this Bitcoin team for making that happen. But also you have end-to-end encryption, peer-to-peer messaging, in case you worry about people snooping on your stuff. But the greatest feature is the group economics feature. Got a social finance component to it. Basically, if we're all a group, you can receive quote unquote dividends, maybe is a good word to use, but you get an ROI depending on how much you stake on the group. So if we're all in there, we're staking, we're all making moolah. So make sure you hit that Telegram link in the description box below to enjoy that great new product coming soon. And also it does have an AI component. Well, so you have an AI assistant in there in case some of you guys need access to AI, has an AI component to it as well. Anyway, how shall we begin the show today? I kind of want to start it. I want to start off with the race grift, get into other stuff later. Let's start off with Raven Simone has surfaced surprisingly enough. He's have a huge crush on Raven. I love Raven Simone. Then I found out he liked women, and I was heartbroken. Absolutely torn apart when I realized that my dreams to date Raven Simone are washed. Anyway, let's listen. Looks like she's on a podcast now. Bad idea.
Commenting on something that I said to Oprah back in 2014.
So you don't want to be labeled gay?
I don't want to be labeled gay. I want to be labeled a human who loves humans. I'm tired of being labeled. I'm an American. Mm-hmm. I'm not an African American. I'm an American.
Oh, girl, don't set up the Twitter.
Now, when that aired, I felt like the entire internet exploded and threw my name in the garbage. There was so much backlash from my community and others that misunderstood / didn't hear the exact words that I said. And the exact words that I said is that I'm an American, not an African American.
I'm an American. I'm not an African American. I'm an American.
A lot of people on the internet thought I said that I wasn't black. And I never said that.
Difference.
There's a difference between being black and African. When I say that African American does not align with me, that label, it doesn't mean that I'm negating my blackness or I'm not black. It means I am from this country. I was born here. My mom, my dad, my great, 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 great. And that's what I'm saying. The pure logistics of it. I understand my history. I understand where my ancestors come from. I also understand how much blood, sweat, and tears they've soaked into this earth in order to create the America that I live in today, free, happy, tax-paying.
So I know the ADOS, the FBA are celebrating. They love to hear stuff like this. They want the omission of African. And as I was listening to the clip, I had this thought. Now, I believe that, wasn't it Jesse Jackson that coined the phrase African American? Hold on a second. Let me see who this was. Okay, let's put this article on your screen. Let's dive into a little history. And see exactly where did the term African American come from? I was in the notion that it was created by Jesse Jackson, but I could be wrong. So it says here the term African American may seem to be a product of recent decades exploding into common usage in the 1990s after push from advocates like Jesse Jackson. Okay. And only enshrined in the Oxford Dictionary in 2001. But it traces the first known occurrence to 1835 in an abolitionist newspaper. But now a researcher has discovered a printed reference in an anti-British sermon from 1782 credited to an anonymous, quote-unquote, African-American, pushing the origins of the term back to the earliest days of independence. We think of it as a neutral alternative to older term, one that resembles Italian-American or Irish-American, said Fred Shapiro, an associate director at Yale Law School Library, who found the reference. It's a very striking usage to see back in 1782. Okay, so we know this term goes back to the early days. They're showing some more signs here. Afro-American, Afro-American, oh, that is, Black American, etc. All right, I just wanted to see where the term came from. Now the chat is probably chatting up and providing some context here. All right, so let's go back to my previous thought. African American. A lot of people hate that term. It's been challenged quite a lot. And now that I'm thinking about it today, watching that clip, it's bringing it back to my previous premise that identity is being stolen from people. For example, I said that quote unquote white people, your identity is not white. And the installation of a white identity is an erasure of your actual identity, where you come from, your lineage. And it's a deletion of memory. When you choose the terms black or you choose the term white, it is a deletion of your lineage, your heritage, omitting the ability to do any tracing back to as early as you can get without going to, you know, what's the name of that website? 23andMe or some shit like that. So I was at church for a funeral earlier this year, and I noticed the term AME. And AME did not stand for American Methodist Episcopal. It didn't stand for Afro. It said African. I'll show it to you here. Type in AME. AME, here we go. Here we go, right here. African Methodist Episcopal Church. And they even show this logo. It's got the RGB, red, green, black. Right? Got the colors that you see there that are usually synonymous with the Pan-African movement. The term African was used by our ancestors. And let's see. So this was founded by Richard Allen, 1760. So this goes back to the early days, the early founding of America, or the early days of America, United States. Now I saw, all right, so the AME Church worked out of the Free African Society. Okay, there's another which page that I've visited before, apparently. Free Africans and their descendants. So it says, a Free African Society founded in 1787 was a benevolent organization that held religious services and provided mutual aid for, quote-unquote, free Africans and their descendants in Philadelphia. Okay? Black religious institution in the city. So the Free African Society is the mother, father, parent of the AME Church in some way. Okay? All right. So let's put that aside because, wait, here we go. The African Method, this is the section I wanted to take a look at here. The section here on race, you guys can see that? Cool. All right. So it says here, the African Methodist Episcopal Church has a unique story. It is the major religious denomination in the Western world that have developed because of race rather than theological differences. Okay, so there was a church and black people were not allowed in it. So black people said, okay, we are going to create our own thing. And at this point, we're not black yet. We are African. Okay, so it says it was the first African-American denomination organized and incorporated in the United States. The church was born in protest against racial discrimination and slavery. So in opposition to racial discrimination and slavery, they are using the term African. Okay? This was in keeping with the Methodist Church's philosophy, whose founder, John Wesley, had once called the slave trade the execrable sum of all villainies. I hate that word because I can never say it. Execrable. In the 19th century, and what a vocabulary somebody to have back then, right? In the 19th century, the AME Church of Ohio collaborated with Methodist Episcopal Church, a predominantly white denomination, okay, in sponsoring the second independent historically black college. Okay, so it born the HBCU Wilberforce University in Ohio. Among their early founders was Salmon P. Chase, then governor of Ohio and the future secretary of treasury under Abraham Lincoln. We've talked about Samuel Chase before, blah, 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 blah. Okay. All right. So let's go back. So the term African-American, not born from Jesse Jackson. This is something that was started by in the 1780s, 1760s. This is the term African was used to denote people of that we would today call black. And they used to delineate them from others. They call themselves African. Now, today, if I were to call myself an African or African-American, the red whites, let's do a little, and we'll check on it in like 30 minutes. So let's type something here and see how the red whites might respond. As a black man in America, no, I'll say as a black man with U.S. citizenship, I do recognize that I am African. Let's just type that. Okay. And let's put black in quotes. Let's put black in quotes. As a black man with U.S. citizenship, I do recognize that I am African. And let's see how people respond to that. I'm sure
commenting
we'll
on something
have,
that I sent to Oprah back in 2014.
We'll have commentary from all different colors of people, all different ethnicities and races. MoFax is in the chat saying we are not African. So, you know, we'll get that type of response, right? Say we are not African. And So coming back to my previous point, the early people, our ancestors, recognized themselves as African, set up various societies that used the term African, and they even named their church African. And then later on, so-called African-American, and then that's destroyed. Now we're given the term black. Seems to me like somebody wants to erase our memory. Somebody wants to erase our true identity. Even when you look at some of the native tribes, East Coast native tribes, talk of Turtle Island, but in this great document, this document here, I'll show you the book cover right here. And the name of this book is The First Americans Were African, Documented Evidence. And this is written by Ahotep, David M. Hotep, PhD. Okay. Wonderful, wonderful document. He gets into genetics. He gets into, you know, some of the documents or folklore of the natives. And many of the natives, I remember one story said the natives on the East Coast referred to this place, Turtle Island, said that them and their ancestors came from the East. And if you're on the East Coast, East is Africa, okay? So it appears as though somebody wants to eliminate the concept of African from our minds. It seems like an op, okay? And everybody who will come around and say, you know, quote unquote, black people are not African, to me, is the feds. Like, you're just a fed, right? Like, either wittingly or unwittingly, you're a fed. Because why are you trying to erase an identity and replace it with, if you call us American, replace it with a corporation? And then there's also, you know, the origins of the term America. Was it Amerigo Vespucci? Was it the Amaru tribe? You know, all of that stuff. So what I like to say is African is my ethnicity. American is my, represents my citizenship, my nationality. My nationality, the nation I belong to, is America. But my ethnicity is African. And I think that's the same to go for Italian-American, Irish-American, who are groups of people who tend to work together and bond over their common ethnicity. And they enjoy tremendous benefits. You know, there's great stories of how the Italians and the Irish took over police. Irish took over fire departments, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, the way the story goes is the Irish weren't treated fairly. So they would, you know, firebomb places. And then who are you going to get to put it out? And so they would firebomb places to make it so that you needed a fire department, and then they became the fire department. That's why some of them control some of the fire department. So when she says she's not African American, you know, to me, I believe she's been distracted from the PSYOP. She's been distracted by the PSYOP. And believed to, you know, have some pride in this called America. And you guys already know how I feel about American pride. Anyway, let's go to the next story. And we'll come back to that. Maybe we'll call Mo Fax and he can call in and give us his diatribe on the matter. But staying in line with the racial grift. And I love to hear you guys. Cassius Cam said, I'm an Irish firefighter. See that? See what I'm saying? This shit comes full circle. It's like in his blood. In his blood. I don't know. Ask Mo, where did the cradle of civilization start, Africa? Jabari said, we are not a continent. And what would you say, Tawi? Tawi American? Tawian American? You know, like what term? And why would we not be? Why would we not be? Interesting discussion. I see Strong Dad in the chat. I can't wait for you guys to call in so we can discuss this. I probably should have discussed this later on, but let's continue. So Romeo and Juliet is getting a reboot. Romeo and Juliet, I guess, is getting a reboot. I'm going to take a look at this. So here's Leonardo Joni. She did perform at the Grifty. Leonardo. He says, in his version of Romeo and Juliet, Juliet commits suicide by cop, and the residents of Verona respond by looting the local apothecary. Wow, okay. Anyway, Romeo and Juliet, Tom Holland is supposed to kill himself because he can't have her, and this is the woman allegedly supposed to be Juliet. So let's take a look at this. Let's see. Let's try and be a little bit of a sleuth here. So, you know, here we are. Another one. New version of Romeo and Juliet. Okay. Here's 1996 Romeo and Juliet. Here's the reboot. And here she is. It says right here, just found this BTS of Francesca's photo shoot for Romeo and Juliet. I already love her. She's not ugly. She's actually pretty cute. Hold on. That's not an ugly woman. Kind of cute. I think those other pictures probably really bad. Like, this is just a bad shot, right? This image right here is when, you know, you first start out in acting, I guess. You ain't got the check yet. The check ain't come through, right? He looks a little like a boy here. Doesn't look that attractive. Now let's take a look. Let's dive into Francesca. Let's see who this Francesca is. Now I know everybody's gonna say this is DEI. Romeo, Juliet. All right, let's see here. This appeared in the media 6 days ago. And what's her name? There she is again. Got the natural hair out. Francesca Amewuda Rivers. Okay. So now we have her name. pull us up, pull up this African woman. And let's see here. Gotta admit, not a lot of these images are, they're not quite flattering. You know? They're not exactly flattering images. My concern is that Hollywood can make almost anybody look better than they usually do. So who knows how that. And we're going to come back to looks in just a moment. Hold on, let me type in modeling, see what we got here. Interesting. Who is this? Who is that? Wait a second. Who is this? Wow. Is this her? It's not her, right? No, it's not her. Different girl, right? Different girl, different hair. Right? Dang. They probably made a mistake and put the wrong image. I don't know. So let's go back to tweeters. Let's go back to the tweeters and see what the tweeters are saying about this. You know, our educated tweeters and people with great commentary. Romeo and Juliet versus your local Wake Forest field hockey girl. Interesting. New Romeo and Juliet. Ain't that the dude? What's his kid's name again? Ain't he a rapper or something like that? Full cast announced. Okay, so who's in here? So Tom Holland. It looks like a pretty black cast. This cast looks really black. Oh shit. Oh shit, it done hit the fan. Here we go. This is gonna be great. So here we have somebody posting a clip of Nick Fuentes, and he says they are replacing white people. What time period was Romeo and Juliet? What time period was this supposed to be depicted in? And what areas? This is Italy, right? Here's the original images of Romeo and Juliet. Two members of the Yamnaya tribe. And it looks like here they are Italian. Okay. From feuding families. From Shakespeare's work. Mm-hmm. Right around the time of the 16th century. Okay. All right. Just checking. Just doing my due diligence. I haven't been I'm not really, up to date on what's happening with Romeo and Juliet. Let's go with the Uncle Hotep take. The Uncle Hotep take is, didn't y'all say y'all not going to be checking for Hollywood anymore? Y'all supposed to have deleted your Netflix accounts and all of this stuff, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the Uncle Hotep take. My take is it going to be a good movie? Like the whole race swap thing, like, let me think about it. You cast a black woman as Juliet, right? Now, is that DEI? Well, I don't think it's the DEI in the terms of didn't earn it. I won't say that. I won't say she didn't earn it because she probably did earn it. But, you know what we got to do? We got to check producers and directors. And this will tell us a lot about the production. Let's get some more information. Romeo and Juliet. Okay, let's go here. All right, let's see if we can find some information about the production. It can tell us a lot about if this is a DEI production, because my hypothesis is this is probably produced by a black person. Okay, so let's see. I see a lot of African names there too. Romeo and Juliet opens at the Duke York's Theater. Oh, it's a play. It's not even a Hollywood thing. It's a play. Okay. Interesting. So that changes things, because Broadway has the concept of theater is very different, because in theater, you know, I've heard stories of men playing women and women playing men, because theater is about being able to, now I don't agree with that shit, but theater is about, you know, being able to perform. And if said person can perform the role better, then that's who we, and then sometimes there's a shortage on actors, so there's production issues on that, the way that's concerned. Her rep is Curtis Brown. I don't know who that is. Produced. Okay, so she's English. Duke of York's Theater. That's not even in America, is it? That shit's in London. So this ain't even no American shit. All right, let's continue. Let's continue. So it's not American. This is London. It's not a movie. This is like Broadway theater shit with a stage. Okay. So let's try and find the producer. I don't see who the producer. West End Production. Let's search West End Production. See who this is. The West End Theater. Just as Broadway represents mainstream professional theater in the larger houses of New York within its proximity, the West End, an area of London where their Broadway caliber shows staged. Okay, got you. So instead of this being Broadway, theirs is called West End. We're learning a lot today. Learning a lot. Jamie Lloyd is the director. Let's go and see who Jamie Lloyd is. Here's Jamie Lloyd, British director. Let's go check it. I know y'all want me to go look at his early life. Let's go look at his early life. He was born in Poole, Dorset, Southwest England. Studied at Liverpool Institute of Performing Arts. British director. We have the director there. I'll see his face right here. Here he is. All right. They got tattoos. All right. So who produced? Let's take a look. Romeo and Juliet, Duke of York's Theater. Produced. Jamie Lloyd Company. Okay. So. That's his company. Interesting. Interesting. Here it is. Here's the official website. You know what makes this interesting? The fact that Tom Holland has been casted as Romeo. That's what makes this interesting. Tom Holland, you know, isn't he Spider-Man or some shit like that? Here's some of their other production. Click on that. What does it do? Okay, it takes us here. Tom Holland is Romeo and Jamie Lloyd's pulsating new vision of Shakespeare's immortal tale of wordsmiths, rhymers, lovers, and fighters. This might not be DEI. This might not be DEI. Because, you know, these theater things come with a singing vocal aspect as well. So this might not be a DEI group. It might be she's just really freaking talented. We just got to sit back and wait, or, you know, fly to London and see the show, or just wait till it comes here and watch the show. I don't know. But it seems like, so now I think what's happening here is it's just the woke right being triggered. I think that's what this woke right being triggered. Yeah, that's what this comes down to. Which is going to lead us to our next story. Going to lead us to our next story, which is right here. Put this on. So there's a profound tweet that was produced by Donnie the Don. He says here, good morning. If an octopus can unscrew itself out of a jar, why can't we unscrew ourselves out of tyranny? And I don't know if you guys ever done any research into octopi. They're very interesting. Very, very interesting creature. I have a feeling that if octopi could live outside of the water, they would rule the earth. They would be top of the food chain. It's just a theory. Probably a shitty theory. But these creatures are absolutely amazing. Netflix has this really cool movie about this dude who falls in love with an octopus. Not like that, but, you know. He, you know, like a family, became like a family, you know, really, really good, for theory. I really, mostly because octopi are my favorite aquatic animal. So she says, if we can screw ourselves out of the jar, why can't we unscrew ourselves out of tyranny? And, well, I had an answer to that. And it leads us back to what we were talking about previously with the Romeo and Juliet story. And I said, it's, because the red cap is also us. Not only are we the octopus in this experiment, but we are also the red cap. We are the jar. We as a people contain ourselves because things happen. We divide ourselves. There's the black Romeo and Juliet. There's a black Juliet, you know, with Romeo. They're saying, no, this should be all white. Now I'm thinking, are there any black classics that were replaced with white people? And is it a problem if black people replace white people with classics? I would love to sit in a room with people on both sides of the argument. Maybe this is what we should talk about. Is there a problem with black people playing traditionally white character? And I'd rather stick in the lane of not, let's not do, you know, Little Mermaid. Let's go in early culture. Early European culture. Romeo and Juliet. Anything wrong with that? I'd love to hear some opposing opinions on both sides. I'd love to hear people say, when they say there's not a problem, and then people that say it is a problem. And then tell me why it is a problem. Because my issue is there could be some hypocrisy here. If you sit around talking about identity politics, then you shouldn't care if Juliet is black. Right? Because I don't see color. Color shouldn't be an issue, blah, 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 blah. So you can't say, you know, I don't like identity politics, and then say, you know, I don't see color, I don't do identity politics, then be upset when there's a black Juliet. I don't think you can do both of them. I don't think. Writing a new story would take work. Well, this isn't exactly like Hollywood, right? My voice keeps cutting out. All right, I'm going to check on that in a second. Hold on a second. I know what I'll do. Hold on. Let me, property. No. Got to go filter. Here. Filters. All right, so let's do this. Let's take the compressor off and just put gain. How about that? Let's go to gain. 1, 2, 1, 2. That's probably better. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. All right, that's probably better. I removed the compressor, and that probably fixed it. Thank you for the heads up, by the way. Okay. So yeah, let's talk about that when you guys call in. What else we got? But again, the premise is we hold each other back because we just argue over stupid shit all the time. We divide ourselves. That's really why we can't climb out of tyranny. Tyranny is it thrives off of division. Let's go to this. This clip was rather. When I saw this one, I thought I was going to see something wild and crazy. Because, you know, migrant crisis and all that stuff. This lady here, Lola Libs Suck a Big One. That's one hell of a name. America First, my pronouns are GFYS. What the hell is GFYS? Is that an acronym for like, get the fuck out of here, you son of a bitch or something like that? Anyway. He says, NYC, folks, greatest city in the world? Not anymore. This is Lower Manhattan. Right? So when I saw the caption, oh my God, what am I about to see here?
I literally live in Guatemala.
He says, I literally live in Guatemala.
So unbelievably disgusting and tragic and sad. I mean, really? Do we need 10 stands of the same shit?
I'm trying to figure out what area is that? What area is this? Where is, he said it was what? Lower Manhattan. Okay, so we're going Lower Manhattan. That might be, what is that near, that Union Square? Because Union Square would put us at like 14th Street, right? What does that say? South Ferry Station. Oh, that's all the way down there. That's all the way down there. That's like the last stop on the one train. That's before you get to, before you head into, you cross the Manhattan Bridge and head into Brooklyn. Yeah. Can't remember being over in this area. Anyway, my reply to this was, looks like capitalism to me. Maj Toure says, so people practicing free market enterprise in America is disgusting. So many people have lost the plot. Yeah, this is what's weird to me. First of all, 36 million views. 10K retweets. Yo, it's got to be botted. This has to be botted because how do you have more retweets and comments than likes? Is this a bot account? Which brings us back to another subject. Elon's Twitter has way more bots. Just way more bots. The Staten Island Ferry. Yeah, this is down there. Yeah, this is right there by the Staten Island Ferry. Exactly. Somebody in the chat said, am I to be horrified by fruit? Yeah. So, all right. So maybe this is a Fed account. And this goes back to what I was saying before about division, right? You got these Fed accounts that, you know, they fear monger. He was the dumbest shit and people fall for it. This is weird. Is this a real person? Pin tweet. Maybe it's a real person. I don't know. Interesting. Maybe some really good engagement farming. I don't know what's going on. But yo, are we supposed to be alarmed? I saw somebody in the chat say something about, you know, chemicals and plastic and fruit sitting out all day. And I'm like, wait till you find out what's in your supermarket. And how do we know these people are migrants? Like, just because they're Hispanic doesn't exactly make them migrant. I have a hard time believing migrants set up these stands. I just have a hard time believing that. I think this is the usual, because even when I worked in Manhattan, even when I worked in Midtown Manhattan, you would see these stands. You would see the Hispanic people in the stand. So are they migrants or are these citizens that just happen to be Hispanic? I don't know. I know they get a lot of bread. So. If you're a migrant, would you want to go and like open up a fruit stand? Is that what you're going to do after you get your check from Biden? I don't think that's what you're doing. I think if you get your check from Biden, you're probably chilling in a hotel at the lobby or at the pool, you know, waiting on your next check. I can't see you coming outside and setting all this up. Plus, some of these are women. And a lot of the migrants are usually men. What exactly are we complaining? Shit is so weird. The red whites are really weird. Really, really, really weird. Here's another story. Kind of like in the same vein as this one. It says here, let's pull this up. Oppenheimer has been released in Japan 8 months after its global release. We spoke to historian Naoko Wake to learn why the U.S. refuses to take accountability for the war crimes committed in Hiroshima and Nagasaki and why all of this is relevant to us today. Where'd the community note go? Wait, there was a community note in here that said, yeah, because Hotep T-Rex said, I think this post in the comments, then the community note would make a great case study of the bait the left puts out for red whites. Yeah, yeah, this is definitely bait for the red whites. But the community note on this said something about she was a historian in gender study and not like, you know, great Japanese historian. But yeah, that you're right, T-Rex. Hotep T-Rex, you're absolutely right. This is definitely red-white bait. Absolutely true. Definitely red-white. All right, let's go back. Hold on, we got some supers. We got some supers coming in. Shout out to my people dropping the supers in the chat. Troublemaker Joni said there is a reason a ginger snatch is called firecracker. Jonah, Italians are not white. Dennis Hopper told Christopher Walken all about the eggplant through romance. Jabari, $20 super from Jabari. Thank you, bro. Jabari says, hold on. I think I have to reduce the gain on. I'm peaking, spiking on the audio as we adjust here. OBS made some up. Maybe the update is better. Let's. Just adjust the thing a little bit here. Okay, let's put it. All right, let's close that. Save that. Using skin color and your feelings as a determination of your ethnicity is no different from a man turning into a woman using their feelings and what they say, what they see to say who they are. Do your family history homework. I like that. I would not disagree. Oh, not. Roberta B. said it's not the capitalism people have a problem with. If they're migrants, it's the shanty towns they set up in cities, towns, neighborhoods people have a problem with. Yeah, but what we just saw wasn't a shanty town. It was something you commonly see in New York City or the fruit stand. You see them in Midtown. Definitely see them uptown. So that it sounds fine unless you speak too low, then it's inaudible. Okay. All right. We're working through it. I'll figure it out. They're making their own jobs, which is commendable, says Andre Brown. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just want to know what to be mad at. Am I supposed to be offended by something? Let me know. You know, why I'm supposed to. What do you say? They never been on the train on a summer day. The mango was coming clutch. Yo, it's been a couple of times I had to stop by them fruit stands. I ain't gonna hold you. That's true. That's true. Take out the. Talk about some health stuff. This is, I had this in the bag for Lily a little while now. A woman by the name of Grace Price says, this is a huge day for X. My documentary, Cancer, a Foodborne Illness, is finally here. It is only in this platform that I'm able to release a film that challenges big food conglomerate and mainstream health claim without fear of censorship. Here's the story of how I, an 18-year-old girl, spent 2 years relentlessly searching for the true cause of cancer. And she's got 4 million views on this. I retweeted it. Now has 10,000 retweets, 29,000 likes, 29,000 bookmarks. And I do plan on sitting down watching it. But I just want to put that on your desk. You guys should probably go watch Grace Price. Traveling Jean. So go check that out. Because there's a lot we don't know about cancer. And I think there are many items within our grocery store that contribute, it, if not cause, cancer, cold, carcinogen. Now, Taiwan was hit with an earthquake recently, and people have begun to speculate. And I'd like to know from my audience, do you think that the Taiwan situation, do you think that the Taiwan situation was a weather weapon or was it natural? Let's see what the audience. There's a lot of people that have speculated. Let's put the poll up. Let's see what the audience says. Everything in America is glyphosate. Damn. The poll jumped up quick. The weather weapon coming down now a little bit. Now, some people have speculated that the Haiti earthquake, the Haiti earthquakes that we watched before. Some people have speculated that that was the weather weapon. The funny thing is that you got to put two and two together. What did they say opened recently? Let's go to the news. Here go right here. CERN is supercharging the Large Hadron Collider. Listen, if you're a conspiracy theorist and you see earthquake and CERN in the same week, you're going to start speculating. Okay. Now, one of the stories was there was some sort of ghost particles inside of the thing. I haven't gotten a chance to dive in, mostly because it pushed me to that, studying some other stuff. But that's the spooky part about all of it. That's the spooky part. That CERN opens up the same week as Taiwan situation. Now, 54% eclipse too, yeah. 54% say it was a weather weapon, because everybody else believes it could have been natural. I don't know. I don't know. All I'm saying is keep your third eye open, because you never know. You never know. We don't trust the people that have the power to. Oh, I see what you guys are saying with the noise gate now. Hold on. Let me adjust. I hate software updates. That's why sometimes I just don't update software, because it's like the old version worked better, bro. I'm going to drop my noise gate down. Hold on. One, two, 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 three, four, 5, 6, 7. All right. That's it. All right. Last story. Then we're going to go to phone calls. I want to hear what you guys got to say. Is it wrong to have black people play Juliet? Anyway. Check this old video out. Looks like this thing like was released in the 80s or something. Take a look at this. 80s had the best conspiracy theory.
In your book that mind control slaves were permitted any drug except marijuana. Why? It's an excellent question. The effects of marijuana on the brain are not conducive to mind control.
It doesn't mean you can't be traumatized and put under mind control. It just means it screws up the programming.
Because it actually opens neuron pathways in the brain. It expands thought. I'm not going to stand here and be speak pro-marijuana because...
No, because somebody be putting it in my car and popping me for it.
But I am anti-marijuana because we see all these ads on TV and everything. And even Dole and Clinton in their campaigns are saying, Dole said, guns, violence, and marijuana, you know, as if it's so violent because... It is not conducive to mind control. They want it off the streets more than they want their drugs, like cocaine, off the street. Marijuana is especially targeted. I don't promote the use of marijuana as a band-aid for mind control because, again, knowledge is our only defense against
it. Yeah, she said marijuana opens neural pathways. Is that true? Let's see. Neuroprotection. Cannabis compounds, particularly CBD, have been studied for their neuroprotective properties. By reducing oxidative stress and inflammation, cannabinoids may support neuronal survival and protect against neurodegeneration, fostering a conducive environment for neuroplasticity. Wow. So let's talk about I'm going to try and find it, but they were talking about this. The Red Whites were talking about this the other day. I'm going to try and find I love having a vision for you. Okay, here we go. I think I found it. Cernovich says, he says, if weed heads would smoke a joint a night before bed, nobody would mind. That's not what happened. Bait and switch. We have empirical evidence now. We aren't 19-year-olds having a dorm room or coffee shop debate. Weed culture destroys society. Weed culture destroys society. Really? Hold on. Let me modify my shirt. Hold on. Because they were... They were not the image. They were arguing marijuana versus alcohol. Here it is, found it. Here we go. So here's the image that they were. It says, I'm not pro alcohol, but still love this meme. And it says here, Stoner society, then it says here these are alcoholic society. So you see development, and here you see a lack of development, at least structural development, right? You say if you smoke weed, this is what you'll live like. If you drink alcohol, this is what you'll live. And I'm not too convinced. As someone who thinks both of those things could be, you know, when not managed, I think they both could be destructive. But I have a feeling that these might be reversed. And here's why I say this. Let's do an experiment. Okay? And do an experiment, and we're doing an experiment over the course of 30 days. Right? You can take 50 people, put them in one society, and another 50 in another society. Okay? Give them 30 days to do whatever the hell they want. Maybe we give them building materials, whatever. My hypothesis is that the alcoholic society will destroy itself first, because that's where the first fight is going to break out. You don't see high people getting in a fight. Like, generally, that does not happen. When you're high, you're usually happy. When you're... And the other thing is, alcohol is going to suppress your testosterone. So you're going to get man boobs in that society. You're going to get men acting like women in the alcoholic society. Now, they say, you know, stoners, you know, it makes you lazy, et cetera, et cetera. And that's not entirely true, because you got hybrid and you got sativa and indica. These are the different types, right? Basic types, indica and sativa. And you have some strains of marijuana that actually, like, make you want to get up and do stuff. It's actually pretty remarkable. In fact, I used to, before I went to the basketball court, I used to puff on some sativa before I played. And I got to tell you, I started to enjoy playing basketball high on sativa. I really did. And mostly because I would do some remarkable thing. I was like, yo, how did I do that? How did I even pull that off? It was an amazing path. Sometimes it seems like you're, like, more dialed in. You know, sometimes you can get in the zone easier. But I think the marijuana society is going to win because of creativity. I don't know if alcohol is going to nourish creativity, but marijuana, for damn sure, they're going to come up with some really bright ass ideas. And I got to say, you know, it's like some of the philosophers of Greece or whatever society you want to talk about, some of them used to use marijuana to get where they needed to be. Some use mushrooms, et cetera, et cetera. Let me see. Did Einstein get high? That's what I want. Yes, Einstein smoked a pipe. He thought the pipe contributed to a common objective judgment. I don't know if there was weed in it. E equals marijuana, cannabis, too. The internet is funny. It says, yeah. Reddit says yes, but we have no records of him smoking weed. So, I don't know. So, let's talk about that, right? We do some phone calls, you know, have some questions. I'm going to go to the phone calls now. Text Hotep your name at 202-596-5631. Hotep your name at 202-596-5631. I want to know your take on, is it bad when you have a black person on Broadway, theater specifically, playing a white person? And which society, the other one you can chime in on, is which society do you think is going to be productive? The one with alcohol or the one with marijuana? And we'll be right back after the short, brief commercial break. And I'll take a look at the drudge as well.